honey, honey, I've got the time.
It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein.
And a great Friday evening to you. Darren Rogers here along with KK, Kevin Kirstein, talking horses to the top of the hour. And only 5 days left at the Churchill Downs Spring Meet.
Where's it gone?
It's flown by.
Yeah, it's 315 days, I think, now until the Derby, so.
That's about right. Yeah. Not that I'm counting that down
no.
yet. I'm just counting the final five of the spring meet, and what a spring meet it's been. It is, the racing has been absolutely sensational. We're going to talk about last Saturday's Stephen Foster card in just a second, but that's kind of typified it. Tomorrow we have an excellent 11-race card. Highlighted by the 10th running of the $120,000 added Roxalana Overnight Stakes. And
it's not an overnight.
It really isn't, because this really popped into a doozy. It attracted our local stars, Kofefi, who she set an absolute blistering track record of 107 and change at Pimlico on Preakness Stakes Day while winning the $100,000 or $150,000 Miss Preakness. And then Mia Mischief, who defeated Marley's Freedom in the Grade 1 Humana Distaff on Kentucky Derby Day. They are among the field of 10 tomorrow. And both are running, and both are prepping for bigger and better things down the road, probably at Saratoga.
Yeah, they're both prepping for Saratoga. And I think this has always been sort of Steve Asmussen's target for Mia Mischief. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned her early season target, and then of course the summer target being at Saratoga, and I think this was always a race that they had in mind. But Kofefi, this is one that sort of brought people out of their chairs a little bit, because it's a three-year-old filly facing elders, and I mean, she could just be anything going six furlongs. She's a freak.
She is a freak. She's probably the speed of the speed. She drew the two-hole. The inside's been favorable throughout most of the meet. It looked like it was again today. I know it was yesterday. So it's going to be quite a showdown. And again, that's just one of, let's see, because I got to count maiden races as, you know, kind of an allowance, you know, non-claiming events.
$95,000 purse.
Yeah, but we've got 7 of the 11 races tomorrow are maidens or allowances. We have on Sunday a 10-race program where 6 of the 10 are maidens or allowances. And then we come back Thursday after off days on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the 3-week closing week. Thursday's 8-race card, I think it's 5 of the 8 are maidens or allowances. And we have large fields. Tomorrow there's 109 horses in the body of the races, 9.9 horses per race. On Sunday, it's 10 horses a race. We're going to have large fields as the money dries up. We've got 49 races left at the spring meet. And I think we've been averaging 8.5 horses a race. I know at one point at the midway mark we were, and it only appears to be getting stronger. It's really been great.
It's so fun to go into the racing office and just hearing the phones ring off the hooks in the mornings. And I mean, it's the trainers are loving it. You know, we're obviously loving it. Handicappers are loving it because you're getting full fields. And wait until they draw that Friday and Saturday card next week, because I think you're going to see some very large fields and also a lot of two-year-olds, I think, that will be ones to keep an eye on Saturday, of course, for the debutante in the Basher Manor, which will headline the closing day card on Saturday, as well as I think there's a three-quarter maiden special weight that's in the book that's going to attract, I think, a very nice field of two-year-olds in there.
Is that going 6 furlongs? Because that first 6-furlong maiden special weight usually attracts some of the doozies.
Yes, and so that's why you sort of see on Sunday there's a 5/8 race that was on the extras a couple of times on the trying to get enough horses for the race to fill, because trainers were trying to decide if they should go to the Basher Manor with a maiden maybe, or they should go in this 5/8 race or wait for that 3-quarter race. And that 3-quarter race, which I think we're going to have a couple of big-time steamers in that 3-quarter race.
How about the baby race today? We had to launch today's card. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch the replay of today's opener. Two-year-old fillies, they're going 5 furlongs. Bill Mott, not known for, you know, winning with, you know, debut runners, unveiled one for Frank Fletcher today, known as Frank's Rockette, and she was just that, 1 for fun by more than 8 lengths, and, you know, came back at 5-2, returned 760. Went favorite in a well-meant maiden race, but
yeah, I
really
mean,
nice horse.
And it was funny because, you know, you sort of hear, and I see a little bit of rumblings in the morning with these horses training, mm-hmm. and seeing ones that are tipping their hat a little bit. And then when I went out to the paddock for that race, you could just sort of see the steam billowing over the paddock of mm-hmm. all these trainers just looking up at the tote board.
A lot of story horses.
And I think more of that will be to come. But this was a very nice winner. And that's what's going to be so cool about these two-year-olds that are debuting a little bit early here at Churchill. You're going to see them over the summer. And a lot of these horsemen are staying here for the Ellis meet. And so you'll be able to keep an eye on them locally here at Ellis and then into our September meet, which will just be sort of a setting the stage for a giant fall meet to close out the year.
In today's Churchill Downs Barn Notes, available on churchilldowns.com, you wrote a nice little piece on the maiden race that's coming up on Sunday. It goes as the second race, but there's some promising runners in Sunday's second half of the early double.
Yeah, this is a race that I was sort of interested to see because Dwayne Lucas has a horse that's been sort of the talk of the backstretch named Kowalski mm-hmm. that is sort of getting a little bit of buzz back there.
This hold on. Wayne has hopes for a promising two-year-old.
Well, yeah. So it confirms it when he's had John Court work this horse the last 4 times that I've seen the horse work, and John just can't stop smiling with this thing. This horse breeds 34 on Monday.
Wow.
3/8.
Kowalski is his name.
It's a will-take charge hold, and so I was sort of thinking that this horse would come back in the second race on Sunday when they were carting this race, and he didn't. Wayne has an American Pharoah colt that's in this race instead, so I think Kowalski's waiting for that three-quarter race at the end of the meet. However, there's another story horse in here with Dennis's Moment for Dale Romans, who Dale's already tabbing this horse as his Derby prospect for next year. He's the two horse on Sunday in race two. Keep an eye on that one. You're also having the half-brother to On Fire Baby for Ian Wilkes. Ian was joking around this morning saying that his new name is Wesley Wilkes because his first-time starter percentage is up to 7%. So I think this horse may be a little bit intriguing in here. That's the number 3, Ghost Lore, who I believe is 6-1, I think, on the morning line is what this horse is. And so keep an eye on Sunday. Race 2, it'll go off right around 1:15 Eastern, and it's going to be one of those story-filled races that you'll have to watch the tote board.
We are already getting excited about the two-year-olds. That's what's
yeah,
that's it's that time
great.
Of year. We're going to hit summertime, looking for horse racing's next great stars and some great action on tap this weekend. Also this weekend, tomorrow morning, Royal Ascot wraps its 5-day meeting, and the centerpiece is the Group 1 Diamond Jubilee over the 6-furlong straight. Have you been? I am so into this. I've been watching every day on NBCSN to watch the action tomorrow. It goes to NBC proper at 9 a.m. Nick Luck and Brittany Urton have done a fabulous job hosting. Dylan Dreyer's out there. Eddie Olchek, again, 9 a.m. tomorrow. They have 6 race programs. Huge fields, great racing, and tomorrow in this Diamond Jubilee, going 6 furlongs on the turf, it's attracted Blue Point. He won Tuesday's Group 1 King Stand, going 5/8 of a mile on the grass. So he's going to try and pull off a rare Ascot, old school Group 1 double.
I mean, it's pretty awesome to see this, and you know, it was awesome to see the coverage that NBCSN was providing all week, because you're sort of seeing, you get Nick Luck and Brittany Urton, who do a phenomenal job, but then you get the hosts, as they call them, for ITV over mm-hmm. in Great Britain, and they do an awesome job presenting their horse racing coverage over there. It's different sort of than our American coverage, because
it's like a 5-day derby.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a 5-day derby.
Can you imagine
over
the hangover?
Oh, there'd be a lot of fish and chips and a lot of champagne consumed over there. I mean,
I don't think
they make top hats as big for me.
Yeah.
I don't. Could you imagine me in a top hat?
I think you need to go test the top hat and tails 1 year. I mean, can you imagine you in a top hat?
No, I can't. I can't.
That could be scary.
It was so fun yesterday watching Frank. First of all, Frankie Dettori's been in a zone the entire Royal Ascot meeting, but he won four races yesterday. The first four, including Stradivarius, who is really become a legendary stayer. What do you go 2.5?
Yeah, 2.5 miles, and
they just sit there and gallop in a large field and pounced. He got the job done. That was his fourth win on the program, and they were eliciting memories of his magnificent seven from 1996, where he swept the card at Ascot. But you know, he fell up short in race five, ran second, and then up the track in the other one. But it's been fun to watch that coverage, and again, it wraps up tomorrow. And Wesley Ward, by the way, so far has been blanked.
Yes,
he's
been blanked,
brought some horses over there. They had rain earlier in the week, good to soft. But it looks like the track's drying out now.
Yeah, so hopefully the weather holds out tomorrow. It should be a fun closing day. And you can bet on what the queen is wearing over there, too. And so that's been a big, I know, with the punters over there.
Yes.
People have been trying to figure out what the queen will be wearing. So a lot of steam on that.
You know, cornflower blue was day one.
Yep.
If you don't think I'm paying attention, gunmetal gray was day two.
Well, no, it was back-to-back blue, and then gray, I think, was three. And so it was sort of crazy, because if you're gambling on what the queen's wearing, who would have thought she would have worn blue back-to-back days?
I'm going with the green tomorrow.
Yeah?
Queen looked great in green last year. Her Majesty is solid in green. By the way, this is her 74th year attending Royal Ascot. The Queen of England, who has supported it, she goes every day. The royal procession is at 9 o'clock sharp. Yeah. It's quite a show. It's a lot of fun, and I've been enjoying it. And I've tipped a winner or two.
Yeah, exactly. I heard you rooting a couple of times in your office.
I got one home today. It was kind of funny. You know, in America, you know, they got these 28-horse fields. Well, I liked a horse that was part of the mutual field. They couldn't accept wagers north of 24. So they group together. And I don't know. I was down on, like, the 25 or something like that.
It was
and,
a 28.
We got Haley home.
Haley Turner.
Haley Turner came home. She was part of the mutual field, not the horse I liked. Yeah. And, $40.60 for a $2 win-back.
Cha-ching.
It was nice.
I mean, large fields over there.
They do have large fields.
Larger than the Kentucky Derby.
Also tomorrow, simulcasting, we've got the Ohio Derby, where Owendale will be he has to be a heavy favorite for Brad Cox. That's at Thistledown, going 1 1/8. Global Campaign entered, will not make the trip. He's off. And I think Owendale is going to be big. Long-range Toddy's over there as well.
I was joking with Flo walking back to the jocks room today because he's going to be on a road trip with John Court up to there. So they're both driving up there tomorrow morning for the race, and Flo said he's going to try and sneak John 100 so that way he goes to the lead and sets up a little bit of pace for him. And so
I don't think they're going to have to worry about a pace.
Yeah.
A couple of the local horses in there, you know, Bethlehem Road, Going for Gold, and Dare Day, all on the outside. They've all got speed. I think John will be in the mix as well on long-range Toddy. Owendale, I think, will have a pace to chase and should be strong in there.
Speaking of John's, yes. Clocker John chiming in, listening to the show tonight, and just sent this great photo of you. That would be you wearing a top hat.
So, for the record, the photo for you listening at home is a picture of Winston Churchill in old black and white. And, that's pretty much a
He's
little bit.
He's got the gloves on and everything.
Yeah.
That would be you.
I could see that. Also have the Grade 1 United Nations tomorrow at Monmouth. Mike Makers got a couple in there, including Zulu Alpha, which Channing Hill will make the trip over there. So, it's another great day of racing. We had a great day last weekend as well with the Stephen Foster. We'll recap and talk about that in just a bit. But one of the big story makers this week was the announcement on Tuesday of the approval of a racetrack extension for Churchill Downs. And what does that mean? Well, much like the trackside Louisville, where we had for years off-track betting along with the stabling of the horses over there, and still have today with Derby City Gaming. You can bet on the races over there. Churchill Downs operates that property. We filed a request with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission because there's an exciting new project on the horizon in downtown Louisville. And to talk more about it, we're going to welcome on Gene McLean of the Louisville Thoroughbred Society. And Gene, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. I appreciate it very much. I'm better than I deserve to be, I'll tell you that.
Well, we know you're a joy. And by the way, thank you for taking the time. You had a busy week. You're going to relax at the lake house. But I know you never turn down an opportunity to talk about horse racing. And you have to be particularly excited about this project. Tell us a little bit about your dreams of the Louisville Thoroughbred Society, which, let's get right off the bat, for our listeners out there, it's very similar to the concept that occurs at Keeneland with the Thoroughbred Club of America.
Yeah, you've hit on it. I was born and raised in Midway, which is located right outside of Lexington. Spent about 50 years of my 63 that the good Lord has allowed me to set foot on this earth in Midway. And I spent a lot of time both professionally and personally and a lot of great times at the Thoroughbred Club of America. I moved to Louisville about 14 years ago, got married, and live in Anchorage now. And, you know, when I moved to Louisville, I had a horse partner or two and some other great friends I met. And I asked one day, I said, well, where do you guys go here to go watch the races when Churchill's not racing? And they said, well, we don't really have a spot. And I said, well, if I live long enough, we're going to have us a spot. And I've been able to live this long, and we're now closing in on it. Kind of like making that turn for home in the Derby. You know, you got a lot of obstacles, as we well know from this year's Derby. Maybe we kind of have flushed through the final turn and now are in that last quarter of a mile.
So Churchill Downs is reached a lease agreement with your venture, the Louisville Thoroughbred Society, and the conditional approval on Tuesday from the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission will permit up to 12 simulcast wagering machines and betting machines, self-service, at the Louisville Thoroughbred Society. Now, tell us a little bit about your partners. You've got Mike Schnell, who I know is a Turf Club member, a real character and big personality, who's been very successful, and Dave Steinbrecher, who they own and they're restoring what's being known as the Hughes Lofts. Tell us about how that whole came together.
Well, you guys, you know Mike well. His picture must have been up at the post office where you got that description. You know, Mike is a own Snail Contracting. He's been in the contracting, doing mostly concrete restoration work is his real daytime job. But he's a passionate horse owner and has been involved in horses. He and I have owned several horses together. We're still looking for that one to pay for all the rest of them. But, Mike and I have long had a long relationship. And then Dave has been Mike's kind of business partner on a number of ventures downtown, in particular with the Ice House. They restored the Ice House and made that into a kind of a convention area. They're doing a lot of hosting a lot of weddings and receptions. They also operate out of that facility, Crushed Ice Catering, which is just an outstanding catering company with one of the top chefs in town. Mm-hmm. So they had a facility there and a identity on Main Street. But Mike and I were talking, and he was one I was mentioning, Darren, about the, you know, trying to have a location in Louisville. And we kind of talked about it. And then he called me one day and said, I bought this building. I want you to come take a look at it. It might work for what you've been talking about.
And it's right next door, isn't it? Right next door to the Ice House?
Yeah, right next door to the Ice House, about halfway between the Yum Center and Slugger Field, right on Main Street, 209 East Main, was the old Fetzer building. And they were a supply entity for restaurants and food service, had a lot of wholesale equipment, kitchen equipment and stuff in there. But they bought that building, a historic building built in the late 1800s. And Mike invited me down one afternoon. He said, come take a look. And as soon as I walked in, I said, this is it. This is it. And the building is just amazing. It's historic. The wood in this building, you can't duplicate anywhere. And it's just amazing to watch it come back to life and have a new identity. But it's going to be great fun to watch the people enjoy this building because it's really remarkable.
So this is a private membership club that, and I'm kind of envisioning like a year-round simulcast version of a turf club almost.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Right? And conveniently located downtown. Tell us about some of the amenities that you're going to be offering there.
Well, and that's very, very important and probably the essential two or three things. And that's why this week, Darren, was so important for everything, was getting that approval. Because the first question anybody wants to ask is, well, will I be able to bet? Will I be able to cash my tickets? Will I be able to do it all right there? And we didn't want to say maybe or, yeah, we can offer, you know, this or that. We wanted to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll tell you, going back just a little bit, when Mike and I started down this path, the first thing I did is I called up Kevin Flannery and I said, Kevin, hey, I've got an idea. I want to come out to the track. I want to talk to you. And Kevin and I have had a long relationship dating back to his days in Frankfurt and as the deputy secretary to the transportation cabinet. And so I knew Kevin and, you know, we talked and met and, you know, he gave me thumbs up and said, hey, if you're interested in doing this, go for it. And so we did, and it was three derbies ago in the spring, or Derby Week, we had a press conference and said, we're going to do this. And I looked up, Darren, and I saw Bill Kerstangen and Bill Mudd standing there.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, no, I'm either in real good shape or I'm in real bad trouble.
For the listeners that don't know who that is the chairman and CEO of Churchill Downs Incorporated, along with the chief operating officer and president.
Yeah. And one of them is real tall, and you can't miss him, and the other one is really built like a linebacker, and you can't miss him either.
Yeah.
And I knew I was either really good shape or really bad off. As soon as we were done, Dale Romans was there and very gracious with his time. And as soon as Bill and Bill walked up, I said, Mike, this is Bill and Bill. And I said, these are essential elements and partners and great guys. And Bill Mudd took his hat off his head, and he had a red Kentucky Derby hat. He handed it over to me and said, wear this. We're partners from here on.
Oh, that's great.
I'll tell you, Darren, the thing that is so special about this whole thing, this process, and it has been a process. Anything that's worth doing is worth doing right, and we've made it. We've taken each step very meticulously. But the relationship we've been able to build with Bill and Bill and Mike Ziegler and the team at Churchill Downs, I can't say enough. I had done some work with Churchill in the past and obviously knew of a lot of their corporate officers and particularly their members of their board. But I'm going to tell you, and I don't mean to underestimate this, this is a dynamite group of people, not just business people, but people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great people to do business with, but they're great people to be friends with. And that's really kind of been one of the overriding great fun parts of this endeavor.
Well, and it's such an exciting time in horse racing in Kentucky. You know, in light of the Derby City Gaming's opening since mid-September, the influx of added money that it has grown the purses to, and look at the horsemen responding in the entry box. chasing the big purses. And that's great for bettors, where the bettors are now betting with both hands, chasing big paydays. I know as a horse racing fan, this is an exciting time to be in Kentucky.
Darren, I've been around the sport and the industry and the game for a long time. I go back, way, way back. My grandfather would take me with him to turn out yearlings when he was in his golden days, in his golden years. And he would put that hand down, and I'd reach up and grab it, and we'd go turn out yearlings. And there's ever since then, and that goes back 60-some years, there's never been a day where racing in Kentucky has ever been this good. And it's a collaboration of the horsemen, of the breeders, and particularly the racetracks and what they've done to expand the base of their operations with historical racing, and those revenues. They're always looking for ways, innovative ways, to appeal to the fan. And you know, night racing coming to Churchill Downs, I mean, what a nice thing. And mm-hmm. and nobody, paid for Churchill to put lights in except for Churchill.
Yeah.
And to expand the way they've done it, they've expanded the base of their audience. And
how about the Twilight right now, Thursdays? How about the Twilight Thursdays, Gene? I mean, we had over 8,000 people at the track on Thursday. A Thursday 8-race program, and it was vibrant. It was such
the KK. Courtyards are packed. Plaza's packed, and it's people having fun, drinking dollar beers, betting on horses. What more can you ask for?
It's exactly right, and you know, you got the bands going. You got the kids. You know, this is and you know, you touched on something that I really want to identify with the downtown location that we're putting in, and mm-hmm. with the collaboration and cooperative efforts between us and Churchill. Is I want this to be a fun deal. I don't want it to be a bunch of fat old guys like me sitting around and with a bunch of guys. I want it to be fun. I want it to be vibrant. The first thing I did when I took my kids, to sporting events, I took them to the racetrack when they were 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they're race fans today. And they're both grown. I've got two grown children and a 15-year-old, and they all got exposed to racing early on. And that's what this thing downtown's about. If you haven't been downtown Louisville lately, man, you're missing something.
It's vibrant. It's really coming together, and it's businesses like yours that you're, creating. And to bring up another point, a great thing about going to the races, first of all, in this modern age, it's so easy for us to place a wager through an ADW, TwinSpires.com. More than 50% of the wagers are now accepted on a mobile device. But people still come to the track. They still like to get together with other people that are talking horses. It's a camaraderie. And that's the thing I've always noticed from the days when my father took me to the track on select weekends. You wanted to be around other people to talk horses, cheer a horse home. There's no fun when I'm sitting in the house, right?
Snapping by yourself.
I'm snapping my finger.
You got the wife looking over at you.
The wife wondering, what are you doing? The dog's jumping. I want other guys that are, and gals that are vested. And so you're creating this opportunity. So let's talk about this setting. This is looking at, you're going to be partially operational by year's end and probably fully complete probably early next year. But what are we looking at once we're inside the doors of the Louisville Thoroughbred Society, if you're a member?
Well, guys, Michael and Darren both, I mean, the thing, or Kevin, I'm sorry, Michael was the one who piped me in, so I don't want
to my middle name, so that's good.
Yeah, no, you're good.
You're close.
The technical guy.
Yep.
But when you the great thing about the building is it's historic. So when we get it fully restored, we're building a parking garage next to it. The top end, roof of that parking garage will marry up with our floor. So it will be the largest rooftop bar, open air space, green roof. We're going to have a bocce ball court out there.
Love
it. It'll be a fun activity area. so you'll be able to go outside. Can you imagine when we get it done, being able to watch thunder over Louisville from that rooftop?
Ooh.
With the ability to bet and enjoy and have live entertainment? It's just going to be dynamite, I think. So we wanted a downtown location to buy into all of the activity, the renaissance that's going downtown, but also be part of the social scene because of the great convention business, the great things that the mayor and his staff and the businesses with the urban trail. So we wanted to be part history. We wanted to be part new. We wanted to be part innovative. And all of it tied together, we wanted to be all fun. So we wanted state-of-the-art audio and video equipment. We're going to be able to do the simulcasting and all in HD quality. But also the building itself, we've got about 5,000 square feet outdoors. We got about 7,500 square feet indoors. And we've segregated it into kind of different rooms in there. So there'll be a library if you want to be more quiet, have special meetings, have a private party, have a reception. If you want to have your wedding reception there, you can do that. You can lease that private space out. The trunk of the building, it's a shotgun building that extends all the way to Washington Street. So there'll be a Washington Street entrance and a Main Street entrance. So the trunk of the building will be a long and extended kind of bar area with, you know, all the amenities and accommodations. And then the back of the building, the Washington Street or the north end of the building, will be a premium cigar bar.
Mm.
And we will have outdoor on the rooftop the first and the biggest premium outdoor smoking pavilion for the premium cigars. We've got the largest walk-in humidor in the Jefferson County market. The premium cigars will have your private cigar lockers for your own cigars that you can store there. And then a very high-end, kind of exclusive bourbon bar in the back of the building. And really, it brings together, I think, guys, the three identifiable great things that Kentucky is known for: horse racing, the bourbon industry, and the ability to socialize. And you hit on something I wanted to touch on too. There's nothing better. The horse racing sport's the greatest sport there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I played them, most of them. I've covered, when I was a sports writer and sportscaster, I covered them all. There's nothing like a horse race. But it's a social event, and you want to experience it with your friends and family. You want to tell them how you picked the 12-1 shot that won, and you want to be able to experience that with friends and family. And that's what the building is created to do. It's created to be that party, that social setting.
You're listening to Inside Churchill Downs. I'm Darren Rogers here along with Kevin Kirstein. Our special guest this evening is Gene McLean of the Louisville Thoroughbred Society. They're building this great new private club downtown Louisville right at 209 East Main Street, right next to the Ice House, if you're familiar with the area. Gene, let's cut to the chase. The most important thing, there might be some listeners out there that are excited about this. How can they find more information about the actual memberships? Because right now you've got to be in your recruiting period.
Yeah. You know, I wish we were as good and experienced and as, at this part of the game as you guys are, because nobody is better at getting people through the gates than Churchill Downs. And, Kevin, let me tell you, what you do, man, over there at Churchill Downs is just unreal. I mean, I saw you Derby week, and I know you were busy chasing down one trainer after another, but I pulled you aside and made my introduction. I said, man, I've been following you. You're doing what you guys do is amazing. And so if we're one-tenth as successful as you guys are, we're going to be great. but people can go to our website. We do have a website up. It's very simple. It's the Louisville Thoroughbred Society.com. Now, that's a lot of letters, I understand, but you can go there, click on the prompts that will take you right through the membership links, and you can join and become a member. And I would encourage people, if they're interested in having, I tell people two things about our facility. One, it's going to be state of the art. It's going to have the amenities and the services that are truly five star And we want to emulate the turf clubs and the Millionaire's Row and the Finish Line Suites and the Starting Gate Suites at Churchill Downs. And the only difference being that we don't have a racetrack, but we'll have all the other amenities, and we want to do it first class and in a way that you're not only happy to be there, but you're proud to be a member of being there. So they can go to the website. They can walk through, become a member. We're going to limit our membership, I think, in the first phase, Darren, to around 1,000 members. We think that Louisville is certainly underserved in this market, and that we can exceed that number pretty quickly. And I'm not saying that we won't try to maybe graduate that in some kind of scale as after we get started, but we want to make sure that we're providing all of the services and amenities and accommodations that a club of our nature should be providing, and to the members, and to give them the type of experience that they deserve.
Gene, I'm pumped up listening to it. First of all, thank you for the compliment. Really appreciate that. But, I mean, this is going to be – I don't know about you, Darren, but I'm pretty pumped up for this.
I have to ask you a question. Can we do – when you open – We need to have a remote broadcast. Can you carve out and build a little remote studio? We can host Inside Churchill Downs.
We just need to go to the bourbon bar.
Hey, you know, guys, you know, we haven't talked very much because, quite honestly, I've been so daggone busy. You know, I haven't really described to you. We are going to have a studio in the building. I want to do, as you guys know me a little bit, and we're going to get to know each other a whole lot more. I spent 11 years as a sports writer way back when you all probably weren't born yet. But, you know, one of the things I started when I kind of graduated into this full time was I started a blog called The Press Box. And it's called The Press Box LTS. The LTS stands for Louisville Thoroughbred Society.
And it's
great. I wanted them to be together. I wanted them to be jointly. I started The Press Box about 3 years ago. PressBoxLTS.com as a blog, and it's been because I did know two things. I knew a little bit about the horses, and I knew a little bit how to write, but I had some time, and I really wanted to get back to both of my passions. But I envisioned that the Press Box could be a promotional thing for Churchill and for the industry, and we needed to promote it in a more positive way, in a more and give people an idea of why our sport is so daggone good. But I wanted to put a studio, always wanted to put a studio in the building to do live interviews and pipe them through those interviews through the facility, but also have the ability to replay and have guests like you guys and have a Baffert or a Mott or a Ian Wilkes or a Tom Amos. Tom Amos is one of the greatest ambassadors for our sport that I've ever met, and the guy's a fantastic guy. I'd love to have those guys in our building, in our studio, do some things and be able to not only expose those guys to our audience, but able to then promote it globally. So you guys kind of read my mind. I do want to have a studio there. I want to pipe that sound out on Main Street, so when you're walking down Main Street, you go, yeah. You know, is that Harry Carey? It may not be Cubs baseball, may not be going Cubs win, but I kind of look like Harry, you know, fat guy that's a little obnoxious.
Well, it's funny you say that. This is the exact same passion that I know KK and I share for the sport of horse racing. That's why we got together with ESPN 680 to do this show 4 years ago. I mean, we just have a passion. We thought there was a voice in the marketplace that was missing to have a magazine-style format. That's what we try to do, is have conversations with folks like yourself. And people love information about this sport. They just do. And I'm glad we share that. And, again, the Press Box LTS is .com is regular check-in for my routine in the mornings of catching up on what's going on. Gene's always astute handicapper,
yes,
trying to drag information out of horsemen. And he also has blogs and podcasts on there.
Great
and
photos.
It's great, and you guys are doing a tremendous job over there, and look forward to it.
Well, Darren, I appreciate you guys so much. I appreciate Churchill Downs so much. You know, Gary in the Churchill Downs Racing Club.
How great is that?
So successful, with Warriors Club. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, you guys picked out some great horses and been able to expose it to a lot of different people. And there's nothing like owning a racehorse. And I do a regular piece, Why Own a Racehorse? And I've had racehorses not all of my life, obviously, but for the last 30 years. And you draw this attachment to them that you really can't explain. But when the bug bites you and it hits you, it's more than just a business. It's more than just putting dog food in a dish. And I've got three golden retrievers, and I love them all so dearly. But the fact that, you know, there's only one thing. Well, there's maybe two, but there's only one thing that'll get me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and that's to go see my horse.
Yep.
And I tell everybody I can stay up to 5:30, but I have a hard time getting up at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
But when the trainer calls and says, "Hey, we're breezing your horse today," guess who's the first guy on the rail? And you know, there's an attachment. There's an emotional buy-in. And it's one of the greatest experiences in life. And I wish more and more people could understand that or feel just a tinge of that. And I'll leave you with one quick story, Darren. I had a filly that I bred and owned with a great friend of mine. He was a baseball player, spent 10 years in the major leagues, Rob Murphy. And we're still best of friends, absolute best friends. And he's one of the best breeding analysts I've ever known in my life. That guy just is a walking encyclopedia on pedigrees. But we bred a filly, and I was there the night she foaled, and I told Rob, I said, well, you know, there's something about this filly. I said, she's going to be okay. And we ended up running second in the Breeders' Cup, and Mr. Pollard beat me with a filly that Dave Vance trained. And
caressing.
They were 33-1, and our filly Platinum Tierra was 36-1, and I think the third place horse was probably 30-1 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And as I walked out of, and we should have won. I told Mr. Pollard later, I said, we should have won. He cut us off at the eighth post. And he didn't quite see it the same way. But I was walking back through the tunnel and out of the kind of shadows, as you know, so many things have changed there, but the owners used to have that little cut through, and
yep.
Somebody reached out and grabbed me by the arm and pulled me over, and it was Seth Hancock. And Seth and I have been long friends, and Seth was, one of the owners and operators of Claiborne Farm, and one a great guy and just a true friend and gentleman. And he pulled me aside, and he goes, "I know you're a little bit disappointed, but he goes, you can't appreciate what you just did." And I said, "What do you mean, Seth?" And he goes, "How many horses did Claiborne Farm have in that race?" And I said, "I don't think y'all had any." And he goes, "How many horses do you think we've bred this year?" And I said, "I got no idea." He goes, he gave me the number. It was in the hundreds. He goes, "How many horses did you breed?" I said, "3. He goes, "I'm telling you, think about it." And I never left that. I never have forgotten that moment in time, Darren, because he's right.
Yeah.
And it you know, you go back and you think of all the horses that are out there and how many are bred, and your opportunity to grab that piece of history or that moment in time, and that feeling never leaves you, man. It just never leaves you. Whether I tell you that story. I tell Mike Schnell now, because we own horses, I said it's much, much more economical to have four walls than four legs. I've switched my sales pitch with him until we get this building open, Darren, and then I'll go back to pitching him on four legs.
Oh, boy, and you're not kidding about that. How fortunate on that small number. I remember right after Warriors Club made his debut, and the other filly, her name is escaping me, that they bought.
Right,
Dial Me, that's it.
Yes,
she was
yes.
competitive and ran, I think, a good second or a third. I remember Steve Asmussen pulled me aside. He said, "Do you realize how lucky you guys are?"
Yeah.
I mean, for $60,000, they've got a couple of horses that are competitive, and Steve was saying that he's got clients spending millions to do just that, and you've done it. You've got two competitors with your first two tries. So they've been very fortunate. Very fortunate.
No, it's I can't describe it to you, but it's kind of in a way. It's in a way, and I don't want to compare it totally, but it's like watching your child play that first soccer game or that first basketball game or that first high school baseball game, whatever sport, and you look up and your child actually has the winning hit or hits the free throw to win the game, and you swell up with this emotion and pride. Not that you had anything to do with it, because little did we have to do with it, but you feel this great emotional attachment. And if you do that once, it'll never leave you.
And it's yours. You know, I've said it to people. Now, I've never owned a horse or bred a horse in full, but I've had many partnerships where I've had 10% of a horse. And I don't care if it's 10%. I can't imagine what it must be like to breed one and raise
wreck.
It. But when you have just a sliver of a fractional partnership, you feel like you own that whole horse. It's your horse.
Without a doubt. Well, Murphy told me a long time ago, if you own 10%, you own the whole thing.
Yeah.
And because they won't sell you the tail or the tooth. They'll sell you the heart.
Yeah.
And that's what you buy, is the heart. Mm. And, it's a great sport. It's a great game. Churchill Downs, Keeneland, there's nobody that does it better. And we have the fortune of growing up and living in the heartland of the greatest sport made. And the reason I say it's the greatest sport, guys, and I hate to drag you along on long stories.
No, we love these visits.
The thing that makes it the greatest sport in the world is that I can – Gene McLean, and I can breed my little mare to my stallion, and whatever stallion I can afford. But if she's good enough or he's good enough, they put it in the same starting gate with the Sheikh Mohammed, Queen Elizabeth of England, Mr. Farish, Mr. Hancock. They all got to go from the same point, from the starting gate to the same finish line. And what other sport where, someone who doesn't, I mean, it just comes to the game with more passion than money, can do that. I mean, what sport allows you that amount of fairness, that opportunity for equality and equity and chance to be, chance to win? There's none. There's none. The New York Yankees have far more money to spend than the Cincinnati Reds. So sports are tilted most of the time in favor of those entities that can't afford it. But the sport of horse racing, if my horse is good enough, that horse can compete. And that is the great American dream, is it not?
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. Now, so your love of the game, I know you're trying to get away down at the lake house, and again, taking the time to visit with us, but you have to have a horse for us tomorrow on the Great 11 Race program. I know you've taken your Briss past performances with you. We can't leave our show without tipping somebody.
Right. We need something.
What race tomorrow are we zeroing in on? What are you most excited about tomorrow?
Well, Darren, it's amazing. This Churchill Downs meet is so tough to find a winner. I mean, because the fields are so competitive, and they're so good. I just went through the results of today.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I've got on my spreadsheet here today's card. There was 9 races. I had 3 winners, 1 second, and 4 thirds. And, you know, I feel good that I had 33.3%.
Absolutely.
It's daggone tough to find winners. I think right now, through this Churchill meet, my top win, I've won 113 races out of 23. So I'm right at 35%. And you know what? I'm pretty daggone proud of 35% because it's just so daggone tough.
Yep.
But Saturday's card is really, really fun, and it starts really right from the get-go. They got a $40,000 claimer going 7 furlongs in the first, and there's a horse there that Steve Asmussen's been dropping from. Ran in the great Pat Day Mile 2 starts ago. Now in for $40,000, a Son of Quality Road, a 3-row. There's no doubt in my mind the horse is going to get claimed. Mm-hmm. We're getting so many claims because the purses are so good. But Echo Road is racing in the first race tomorrow, 7 furlongs. I think ideal distance. If you look at the distance, he's raced it 3 times. He's won twice, one time. He hadn't particularly successful at Churchill. But look at the races he's run at Churchill. Mm-hmm. He's running the Pat Day now. He ran in the Iroquois, another grade 3 race.
Oh, did we lose? It sounded like that cell service down at the lake was dropping off.
We lost.
We might
Gene
have lost
Steamer.
Gene. But it sounds like he's all over Tobacco Road in the opener tomorrow at Churchill. We'll see if Gene pops back on. Yeah. Oh, there he is. He's back.
Hey guys. Sorry about that. But, yeah, we are going to storm down here, so it's probably headed your way. But I just think Tobacco Road in the first race to me, I know he's a short price, but he's shown that he can run over. He's shown that he loves the distance. And you might as well get started with a win early on, right?
Right, absolutely.
Short,
pad the bankroll.
Short price is better than a long face.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Kevin. Like you know, a friend of mine once said, you never broke taking profit. So
that's true. That's true. Well, Gene, hey, we really, really appreciate the visit, and we wish you the best of luck with the new Louisville Thoroughbred Society, a private membership club currently under construction downtown Louisville, right next to the Ice House, and there's going to be simulcast wagering in the very near future. So, again, Gene, thank you so much. Really, really appreciated the visit.
And Kevin, both. I hope you both make plans to be with us early and often at the STS. Can I mention one thing before we leave?
Absolutely.
I wanted to say this, and I mean this seriously. And John Adler went to Western the same time I went to Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be allies later in life because he was such a passionate friend of the industry and loved the industry so much. But in our early days, our rivalry was deep-rooted because he was such a Western fan, and I was an Eastern fan, and he loved Jimmy Fikes, and I loved Roy Kidd. And so we came to the racing as our detente. That was where we had a meeting of the minds. But I will tell you this. I don't know of two better guys or a better institution that could do. And you guys follow. You guys are amazing. It's like, how do you follow or how do you replace people in the industry? And what Churchill is a tribute to not only you personally, but to John, because he would be very, very proud, I know, and Kevin, you as well, and what a team. And there will be a spot in the LTS with John Asher's photograph and because that means a lot to me and relationship shared for a long time. I wanted to tell you both, Kevin, your whole team, it's a that you've done being able to do what you do because you've got so much of his professionalism and passion and in where you work, and how much I appreciate. Thank you for that.
Well, we really appreciate the comments.
Thank you,
that was very nice of you to say, and there isn't a day go by that we don't think about them. We just don't.
I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah. Gene McLean, and thank you very much. Really appreciate the visit.
Hey, guys, anytime, and so with LTS, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Let me tell you, we're going to have a lot of fun.
All right. Well,
can't wait to see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there. Okay, that's going to do it for tonight's show.
Solid show.
It was a great show. It was a great visit with Gene.
Yeah.
I really appreciate him and his passion for the game.
He loves
it. It is an absolute must read, by the way, the PressBoxLTS.com. You get some great stories and insight, much more than you would in some local newspapers here in town, so to speak. But anyway.
Just saying.
By the way, congratulations last week to Dallas Stewart for winning Stephen Foster Handicap, for Bill Mott in the Florida League. What a performance. Mr. Money rolled. How about Norm Cassie getting his first stakes win? Norm, we got to have a visit with Norm. Hard Legacy was a nice winner. Anyway, it was a great, great weekend last week.
RB Texas Hold'em won the Arabian race?
He did. Yes, he did. And, we've got great more racing action tomorrow at Churchill Downs. First post at 12:45. For Kevin Kirstein, I'm Darren Rogers. Thanks, Magic Mike.